providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Here to wrap up the weekend edition of the KE Report. We are going to be, again, talking a bit more generally, and who knows, maybe just as negatively as Joel was on the last segment. However, I think we might get some other trading strategies here as we are chatting with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago, also editor at the Lion's Share website, which I will link to within the weekend show posting. Now, Dana, as I said last segment, we had Joel Conan on, and he was quite bearish about these markets. And you know what? There are a lot of bears out there for these markets, and the markets were down for this first quarter, which was very different than pretty much any of the quarters last year. However, we are still only about 6% away from all-time highs, and we have seen just how volatile some big and small stocks have been. Dana, what's your takeaway? Are you just as bearish as we have been hearing in some prior segments about these markets?
Thanks, Corey. Actually, our work is kind of mixed right now. You know, we were, as you know, substantially bearish for most of the first quarter. We got evidence. $30,000 question right now is whether, you know, that the bottom that we put in place was just merely a temporary low and led to, you know, a dead cat bear market bounce and we're going back down to visit or make new lows, or whether it was like a longer term, more substantial intermediate term bottom. And we've got evidence really to support both ways. So our work is still up in the air right now. We have seen significant improvement in a lot of our risk model, including areas pertaining to breadth, but we're not there yet. We don't have the all clear signal. And same thing on the charts. You know, there are some areas that have substantially rallied back, overcome most areas of resistance, and are actually either at new highs or setting up probable rallies to new highs. On the other hand, you have plenty of areas of market, the equity market, that has been more or less a dead cat bounce back up into initial areas of resistance, and it's failing right now. So from that standpoint, our strategy right now, until we get more clarity on the big picture, is to focus on the trees instead of the forest. All right, pick those areas of the market that are more clearly longs, more clearly areas that we want to be long, and on the flip side, highlight or identify and more aggressively trade on the short side those areas that are more vulnerable, more technically not constructive on the charts, and look vulnerable to testing the lows again. So that's our strategy right now until, you know, like I said, the bigger picture kind of clears up a little bit more.
Well, Dana, I got to tip my hat to you, because at the end of last year, you were looking at the breadth warnings and figured that the first quarter would be more bearish, and you were spot on with that. But then you also, the last couple times we talked, noted that you'd seen enough indicators on your quantitative methods and some of the technical analysis that you were looking at that a bottom was put in, and you knew there was going to be a bounce. So now the question is it going to be a dead cat bounce in some sectors, as you mentioned, or will there be some follow through? So I like the idea of you just focusing on the individual trees instead of worrying about the entire market direction and looking for which sectors could have good momentum to the upside and which sectors are in resistance and you're looking to short. Would you like to unpack some of that? Which sectors are you thinking maybe have sustained momentum to the upside, and which sectors are you thinking maybe are just bouncing up to resistance to fall back down again and you're looking to short?
Sure. Well, let's start with the latter group. So the areas we want to be selling and potentially aggressively shorting are two main areas. The tech and growth area, we are definitely selling rallies. They've shown no evidence that, you know, either technically that they've regained enough ground to make a run, a more sustainable run. Fundamentally, those companies in that area, the market still has tremendous challenges and headwinds for it. So we want to be selling, especially there in the high growth and tech area. And the other one is Europe. Pretty clearly, Europe got washed out in that sell-off to those February lows. We were actually buying them because we got better washout, better capitulatory signals in Europe at those lows in February than we did in the U.S. So we bought a bunch of European markets there. We're basically hitting, or have hit in the last few days, our best case scenario for that bear market bounce in Europe. And we've been we've sold all of our longs and have fairly aggressively started shorting over the last week to a couple of days in Europe. So those are a couple of areas on the short side we would focus on. On the long side, I mean, there's, you know, if you look closely enough, there are areas that are already bounced back and are hitting new highs again. So you look at the utilities, which is hitting new highs, held up very well during that bounce in interest rates. And I think we talked about last time, the fact that it did hold up well, now is hitting new highs, maybe suggests that, which was our thesis, that maybe interest rates are topping now for the, at least in the near term. We think they eventually go up again, but that would certainly be a continued headwind or tailwind, excuse me, for utilities. You've got other areas like the agriculture names. You look at the ETF MOO hitting new highs, all-time highs. So that's another area of the market we've been focused on. Value, certainly, as opposed to growth, has been has maintained its leadership, especially in the large cap value area of the market, which is hitting new highs. Another ticker symbol would be RPV. It's the large cap pure value ETF that just in the last few days bounced back to all-time highs. So, and then some international markets. You look at Mexico. Why is Mexico breaking out to all-time highs? No idea, but it is. And those are the types of names that we want to be in. There are others, but those are a couple examples of areas of the market. But it just goes to show you, you know, it's not one homogenous market right now. There are areas that are clearly better than others. So we want to kind of dig down deeper and focus on those trees, like I said, rather than the forest.
Dana, is this simply an environment here where we have higher interest rates and less available cash? So investors do need to be a bit more defensive. And quite frankly, that's why we're not seeing growth do very well. And a lot of people rotating into value, which started last year, end of last year.
Well, you know me, we're never looking for the whys and the reasons why moves happen, but I think it's probably pretty clearly it has a lot to do with it. Pretty clearly, the Fed has not tipped their hand that they're going to step off the pedal yet. So that's certainly one of those headwinds I was talking about. So that, if you're looking for a reason, I think that's, again, well, we don't care what the reason is. I think that's certainly very reasonable rationale for some of the moves that we've been having and likely to continue, I would think.
Well, Dane, I know we just got done talking about the trees and not the forest, because you've seen some that look like they continue their uptrend and you've seen some that look good to short. But if we focused on the forest for just a second, what will you be looking for to tell you that the uptrend could be sustained? And then on the downside, would it be a matter of it coming back and testing the previous low it put in, or would you be looking for it to make a lower low? Tell us what it would look like when you're convinced it's broken out, or when you think the markets may be showing us that we're in a longer bear market.
Well, simply on the upside, we need to see our risk model fully go to a positive posture, and that it hasn't done that yet. It's an intermediate term model, which means, you know, the typical signal is like 2 to 6 months. And we're still waiting for a little bit more evidence from our signal, from our model, to suggest the all clear. I mean, it doesn't mean it's going to be right, but it will be enough evidence for us at that point to get more aggressive on the long side and make a bigger bet that, you know, the bottom is in. I'm not waiting to see another test of the downside. I think we had enough tests of those lows. In fact, I was concerned in the beginning of March, middle of March, when we tested those lows for the third time, because rarely do you see, you know, a triple bottom or a triple top. It doesn't happen. You hear about it, but it doesn't happen too often. So I don't need to see another test of the lows to make for a more substantial bottom. In fact, if we go back down to the lows again, I would say there is a significant risk that eventually those are broken. We put in a new down leg. So that's just, you know, my sense. But again, objectively and quantitatively, we'll be watching our model and looking for more evidence that, okay, the overall, the broad market is indeed heading higher. And that's where we want to get a little bit more aggressive.
Dana, how are you viewing the commodity complex? Because commodities did do well, or at least the CRB did very well this quarter. It was driven a lot by energy prices moving higher, but we also did have things like copper hit all-time highs before reversing. So we have had a lot of pops in individual commodities for a number of different reasons. A lot of those highs have been faded by the end of the quarter, though. So how are you balancing out moves in commodities, and do you like any individual commodities?
Sure. Commodities are a lot like a lot of financial assets right now, kind of in a consolidation mode. You know, they had big moves. Stocks, for example, had big moves down, kind of consolidating. Commodities obviously had big rallies, and they're mostly in a consolidation mode right now, which means for us, the uptrend is still in place. So we want to continue to buy dips in commodities, whether it's oil, which is at a decent spot right now. Precious metals have been in basically the same spot for the last month or so, but we're still bullish on precious metals, and the grains will continue to buy dips in the grain market. So overall, still bullish on commodities until, you know, the uptrend is decisively broken and there's evidence to suggest that that up move is over. Until that happens, our thesis is that we're just in the continuation pattern, and that should resolve to the upside.
What about the individual companies that are extracting the oil and gas or the base metals, or the agriculture or the precious metals? Do you have any thoughts on the actual companies that track those commodities?
Sure. Not individual companies. We don't do individual companies, all ETFs, but from an equity standpoint and the commodities and precious metals, we are quite bullish on most of those commodity companies, whether it's, like I mentioned, the agriculture companies hitting new highs, or also bullish on energy. That feeds a lot into the value ETFs that are doing so well. And by the same token, the gold miners, silver miners, we continue to be bullish on those. We think they're constructively positioned. We think the next big move is an up move, and the next big up leg in their longer-term bull market. So for the most part, across the board in commodity land and the equities tied to them, we're still pretty bullish.
So Dan, I've asked you this question before, but now that we have the first quarter behind us, and again, we have a lot of noise in these markets and a lot of different drivers, have you seen a time like this in these markets in history that you can go back to and read, or at least look at a playbook of how it played out in the past and use that as maybe a little bit of a guide to navigating this environment?
You know, markets, from a micro standpoint, they're always changing, whether it's because of rules that are in place or whatnot. But from an overall standpoint, they're always driven by supply and demand and by sentiment and human nature. So from that standpoint, we've seen this play act out before many, many times. So it's always a little bit different in terms of the set of circumstances that are going on. But from, like, I always harp on reading the quantitative metrics and and maintaining an objective frame of mind. And from that standpoint, you don't need a narrative. You don't need a rationale. You look at the numbers and which way the numbers, which direction the numbers are pointing you, and that's what we'll stick with. So I would say, again, from a historical precedent standpoint, it's certainly not the ideal, or I should say identical set of circumstances that we've ever seen. But on the flip side, markets will always be the same. They'll always, people always get greedy, and then they'll get fearful, and you got to take advantage of those. And in the middle, you ride the trend. So basically, that's our philosophy, and we'll stick with it.
Fair enough, Dana. You have been quite spot on with these markets all throughout last year when things were going pretty smoothly, and then tail end of last year and early on this year, just finding the sectors that are doing well, not taking any biases into any individual sector. Pleasure having you on the show, Dana. I hope everybody enjoyed this weekend show. It was fun putting it together, even though, boy, oh boy, we were still getting a lot of negative comments. And I do caution people to dive too much into the whole negative aspect of these markets because, well, it does drive traffic being that negative, but it doesn't always have to be a crashing market, even though we are seeing weakness around these markets and broadly around the world, actually. Dana, thank you again for your time, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Please keep in touch with us through email, flex@kereport.com and chad@kereport.com. We'll be back with all of you next week. So everyone, have a great rest of your weekend.